Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about fear and faith, and the fact that with fear is evidence that there is no faith. Just like when there's darkness, that's the evidence that there is no light. And that's the difference. If you don't have faith, if you don't live by faith, you're not going to know what to do when it's time to do it. Because God will not guide you in that way. I didn't understand when I was growing up. I just lived that way, where I kind of knew God kind of guided me. There was an intuitive understanding. When I became afraid, I didn't know what to do. Now, why did I become afraid? Well, pride brings fear. Fear brings anger, judgment. This is why Christ is telling us, judge not. You will judge if you don't have faith. So how do you get more faith? What do you do to obtain more faith? You have to live by the revelation, the daily revelation of what should you do. God gives you the opportunity to do righteousness, because that's what we're supposed to be seeking. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God instead of by all those other gods of this world. Those gods many that Paul talks about, those ruling judges that Paul talks about, who exercise authority one over the other. If you don't want to be ruled by them, then you must be ruled by God in your heart. And He is not going to rule you with force. He is going to allow you to choose His way. He's going to show you, divinely show you, wake you up, open your eyes, and say, you should do this. Very quietly. Still small voice. Very quietly. You should do this. And you're going to say, I don't want to do that. Or you're going to say, okay. And you're just going to do it. And this is going to build faith. If you act upon what God is showing you, faith will grow. If you don't act upon what God is showing you, God will show you less. You have to turn around and realize that God will guide you. He can guide every one of you. His Spirit is flowing all around us. We talked previous shows about parallel dimensions and heaven and hell and quantum theory and string theory and all these kinds of things. And the reason why we talk about that is so you can see that there's an actual structure to creation and life. And you have to be very careful that you don't get carried away with the theology, the eschatology, and miss the simplicity of the kingdom of God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It is not love of your neighbor to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Whether your welfare, like I said, public school, that's welfare. Government services, that's services. But Christ preached a government where the services were paid by faith, hope, and charity. And we gave the examples in a previous show of all the charities that existed back in 1910. Thousands and thousands and thousands of organized formal charities supported by free will donations, to say nothing of the churches, to say nothing of the individual charity in the streets day to day with neighbor and landlords and stores and communities. We gave you examples. It was commonplace. Commonplace that people would help one another. They formed communities, and those communities created invisible bonds that held them together. If you ran out of food, would your neighbor bring food to your house? In the local community here, local community, if somebody gets sick, the biggest problem they have is, what am I going to do with all the food that everybody's going to bring? And we've fortunately got a little more organized so that we're a little bit more careful about that. And we don't burden them with all this extra food they can't eat anyway. But in the bigger the city, the less you see that. It's still around, but it's being choked out by the weeds of society. The weeds of society are those people who think the government is going to pay for it. The government is going to do it. The government is the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And no one following Christ should be looking to them for a solution, because they have none. Jesus says, fear not, more than once, but fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not in 2,000 years. He says, I appoint unto you a kingdom. But you're not to be like the princes of the other nations. They were a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, that took care of the free needs of society, the charitable needs of society, with real charity, not by force. This is what John the Baptist was doing. And I repeat this over and over again, because the Bible repeats it over and over again. Christ repeated it over and over again. Moses, Gideon, Abraham. I'm not going to rule over you. How do you create a society that operates on faith, hope, and charity? How are you going to do it if all you do is sing and repeat words in your churches and wave your hands? You're going to wave your hands in our church? You better have a tool in it so you can do some real service. Because it isn't love to talk about love, it's love to do love. Are you taking care of the needy of your society, of your congregation? Or are you sending your congregation to the men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority one over the other? If you are, you should be afraid, because God will not hear you. Fear not is for those who will listen to God and act upon what he says. Luke 3:7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Where are you going to go? Fellow I mentioned before, Blake Sawyer, who was on Coast to Coast and telling everybody to move out of America. No, move out of Babylon. Move your hearts out of Babylon. Get out of Babylon. Get your heart and mind out of Babylon thinking and get it into kingdom thinking. Because if you don't, no matter where you go, there you are, all alone, without Christ. One of the great delusions is that somehow or other you're saved because you say you accepted Jesus. He warned you against that stuff. You have to be doers of the word. You won't be able to do enough. He's going to have to run out and save you because of the calamity that's coming. It's far beyond your ability. But if you aren't working in that direction, and America has stopped working in that direction, that is the problem. It's not who you elect. You go and elect anybody you want. You're not going to change the course of your nation by electing one man leader. The leaders you have are evidence of where your heart is at. You are a divided people, divided from the wisdom of God. And without that, you don't live by faith. You will live by fear. Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you in the cities, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, it says, till the Son of Man become. Well, they have gone over the cities of Israel. It's already come. Yeah, we have so many. Well, we won't get into that and explain why you are under such a strong delusion in that area, because we'll get off the subject. But the reality is, Christ said to wait in Jerusalem. They said, when is the kingdom coming? And they said, wait in Jerusalem. They did that 10 days later. They received the power and authority, and they came out preaching there is another king, one Jesus. They came out preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. It's not a place. It's not a geographical place. It's a way. That's what they were called, a way. They were still called Jews, but they were operating a different way. They were operating the way that Moses said and Abraham said. They made living altars of ministers who they contributed to in order to take care of their daily ministration. The widows and orphans were being neglected. They were, why? Because that was their job. They weren't going to depend on the free bread offered by Augustus or by Herod. That wasn't free bread. It was the bread that they had taken away. If you read our articles on Corbin, you'll realize why the Corbin of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. It was a social welfare system. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now we think of that fornication as simply an act of sexual intimacy. But that isn't. That isn't what they're talking about there. They use that as a metaphor, as an example. If you go back and you read a little bit more, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just read it. I have no idea. I can't remember what it says. I don't know the Bible by numbers. I know it by principles. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before unjust and not before the saints? Who are the saints? The saints are those that are brought out separate. They were the Levites of that day. It was the church. The saints, the holy. The word there is hagios, which means the holy. Let's explore. Let's see what is the word for bring it before the unjust. Why would you bring a matter before the unjust? Who are the unjust? I mean, are you going out looking for criminals to bring the matter to? Well, who would be a criminal? Someone who coveted their neighbor's goods. Someone who made covenants with men who said they are the ruling judges, the gods. Why are you going to the courts of Rome? The courts of Herod? Why aren't you going to your ministers and dealing with the weightier matter? Go to the law, it says. Go to the law. What word did they have there for law? Is it nomos that you'd normally see translated law? No. It's krino, which means judge. 88 times it's translated judge. 7 times it's translated determine. 5 times it's translated condemn. 2x it's translated go to the law, and one of those is here. And twice it's translated call into question, 2x it's translated esteem, and it has 8 other ways of being translated. And it actually means to separate or to put asunder, to pick out, to select, to choose, approve. To go to the law before who? The saints or the unjust? The holy or those who do contrary to the ways of Christ? What is contrary to the ways of Christ? Not operating by faith, but operating by force. You're in the wrong court. You shouldn't be there. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? What world? There are 5 different words that are translated into the single English word world. Which one are they talking about here? the one that means an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government. That's what it means, government. We shall judge them. How do we judge them? We drag them into court? No. We go the ways of Christ. And when they come to persecute us, they will be judged by Christ, by His holy angels. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertain to this life? Don't think of that judgment, though, as sitting up behind a big desk with a gavel, passing sentence on people. If you do right, if you listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart, God's power will go with you, and God will judge. And you will be an instrument of that judgment, but you will not be ruling over others. You won't need to. God will rule through you, and God will be with you. But if you're coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of the institutions which you have created for yourselves and the men you have elected for yourself to rule over your neighbors so that you can be secure, you can forget it. God's not going to hear you. He's not going to be there for you. He's not saved you, and He's not intending to save you because you rule over your neighbor. You do not forgive your neighbor. You say, I gave, now you have to give to me. I gave my sacrifice into Social Security, which is not an insurance program. I gave it in to help the widows and orphans of my day. Now I'm going to make people give to me. Because I'm not going to be forgiving. I'm going to rule over you through the men that I elect who exercise authority one over the other. And you think you're following Christ? I'm sorry. You are so far from Him. And I have to tell you that. Because I hope that you might be saved. But you have to repent and you have to forgive. They owe you nothing. You gave, you supported, fine. Now take care of yourselves. You can't take care of yourself, go to church. If your church says go to the men who exercise authority one over the other, get out of there. That's the church of Satan. That's the church of the adversary. That's a lying church. And if they won't repent, then shake the dust off your feet and don't go back. But you can go there, and sit in there, and try to bear witness to others until they throw you out. That's fine. Because you may be the only light that has come into that church, because your pastor sure is not bringing it in. He's a worker of iniquity. He is a prophet of Satan. He says, if you need any help, you go to the men who exercise authority. I don't want you practicing pure religion. I want you tithing to me. That's what he's saying. And he needs to repent. If he wants to hear me say it in his face, I will say it in his face. I speak to your shame, goes on to say in Corinthians. Well, let's read verse 4. If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Whoa. What does that mean? Let's take a look at some of those words. The word esteem, Luthenio. The least despised, the least set at naught. They're actually asking you for, you know, we have that word esteemed, and then the King James that we misunderstand that. Least esteemed has to do with those that are least despised. In other words, those that they think are the best. Take it to them. In the church, not in Rome. Roman law, civil law, Roman civil law are the same systems of jurisprudence. Do you have a church that deals in those kinds of issues, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy and faith? Or does your church just make you think you're saved when you have nothing in common with the ways of the early church? Is your church the entire social welfare system of your community? No, you've gone out and committed fornication with unbelievers. You eat of their table, of the meats sacrificed to idols. I mean, here's a quote. If sinners entice thee, let's all have one purse. Consent not. Everybody reads Psalms 23. They should read Proverbs 23. If a ruler invites you to sit and eat at his table, in other words, take of his benefits, and ye be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat, for he serves deceitful dainties. What should have been for your welfare becomes a snare. You're not supposed to be that way. Old and New Testament tells us this. But your preachers don't tell you this. They say, oh yeah, go eat at those tables. And then when you're done, come here and tithe to me. Because I'm going to make you feel good about yourself. And I'm going to tell you you're saved so you don't have to be afraid. Even though I know deep down in my heart you're not saved. And I just want your money. I've actually had preachers who realize what I'm talking about is true. And they say, I can't mention this in my church because we will lose revenue. They tell you right out. Now, they tell me right out. I don't know if they'll tell you right out. But they tell me they worry about losing revenue. Well, I'm telling you right out. Because I ain't got no revenue to lose. Because I believe the gospel is the only hope. You have to repent of what? Coveting your neighbor's goods. Making covenants with them that want to exercise authority one over the other. Why did you do that? Because you don't really have faith. You have to wait upon the Lord to give you faith. And then in verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Unbelieving in what? They don't believe in faith, hope, and charity. They believe in forcing their neighbors to contribute to their welfare. Verse 7, now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Take wrong. They're going to give you a ticket? Pay it. You got a license? Pay it. You got a contract? Pay it. You can go in there and tell them, take the day out and see what you can learn, but realize that you've given an appearance of evil. Because you have the license, you haven't obeyed the rules. You have to obey the rules of the unrighteous mammon if you're a part of the unrighteous mammon. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, which is not just flipping over a pancake. It's turning around the way that you are going. And start going the other way. Start taking care of one another in real congregations. Congregations that come to serve, not to have you sit down in a chair for 2 and 3 hours and listen to me. I admit that's what we did when we went on the tour, but I was there for a short time. They don't have to listen to me this week. And I welcome questions. I welcome interactions. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Why are you going to these courts of unbelievers? I tell you, if you turn around in the rest of your life, they won't even want you in their courts. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. You don't even know where all your brethren is. You haven't found them. How do you know that when you take these things from these benefactors who exercise authority, you're not also taking them from the brethren? Because they will take from the brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, which we're talking about fornicators and idolaters, the ones who eat at the table of the king, who make agreements with unbelievers, who make covenants with them to get their benefits. Those are fornicators. Those are idolaters, nor adulterers. That's the churches who do it. Why do you think there's such a rise of homosexuality in the world today? Because we have gone away from the family. We have gone away from community. We've gone away from taking care of one another. You don't need one another. You don't need family. You just need self-gratification. It tells you in the Bible that people will be given over to that manner of action. They can't help it now. They have gone so far down the road, this is evidence of what they have become, that they have already turned their back on God. And you didn't do that with Obamacare. You did that with public schools. You turned your back on God, where you suddenly thought it's okay to take your neighbor's house away from him if he doesn't pay into your child's education. That's the law today that you are under. And you are under that law because you've accepted it, and your churches have not spoken out. And every real church of Jesus Christ should be speaking out against public schools. You should not be creating public schools. You certainly shouldn't be seeking the benefit of them, besides the fact that you get a terrible education full of lies and deceptions. But heck, you're getting that in church. It goes on to say, nor thieves, nor covetous. You can't inherit the kingdom if you're seeking the benefits of men who exercise authority one over the other and force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. You cannot inherit the kingdom because that is a covetous act and you are drunk on benefits. So it says, nor drunkards, nor revilers. Shall we look up some of those words? Revilers? Extortioners? What does that mean? Revilers and extortioners. Are you one of those? Are you a part of a system that does that? You have to turn around. And that's what we're trying to show you how to do, but you have to come together. Not forsaking the coming together. You have to come together because why do you go to church? You go to church to serve others. If you don't go to find others, how are you going to serve? You're just serving yourself. Then you don't love others as much as you love yourself. You just love yourself and you want to save yourself, and that is not going to cut it in the kingdom. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit of our God. But only if you really are living according to Jesus Christ, not just magic words. You have to actually be doing it. And you can't do it unless you come together. So you need to come together. Going to another country, you're just going to be in another country of the wicked. Yeah, maybe there's not as many wicked there. I don't know. Maybe there are more. You got to find out what the wicked is. Well, we'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom and we'll talk about some of these things in greater detail. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're talking about fear and fleeing. And it said, as I said, that you were to flee this fornication, but it also said you were to flee idolatry in 1 Corinthians 10:14. And if we go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about other things. It says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. What did they lust? They were talking about overthrown in the wilderness. What they were doing. The golden calf was a central bank. It was called a reserve fund in most city states. It's where people put their wealth, and it bound them together because their wealth was in one place, and they exchanged amongst themselves something that only had value amongst themselves. It had no real value. If you go on the U.S. government website, or at least the Federal Reserve website, they tell you Federal Reserve notes have no value. All the gold and silver is supposedly in the Treasury. I'm not even sure it's there anymore. Neither are they. They haven't had an audit. So, because you don't even get to see the golden calf. And the gold and silver you might have in your pocket, you, if you're a U.S. citizen, you don't have a right to. You own that by permission. Been that way since back in 33. Yeah, they repealed H.J.R. 192, but then they got public law 95-147, I think it is. Or whatever it is. You don't own it. You don't have lawful title, you have legal title. Legal title doesn't include the beneficial interest. All things which we can explain, and we do explain in other shows. But the point is that you are under idolatry. Neither be ye idolaters, it says, as were some of them, as it is written. The people who sat down to eat and drink. Eat and drink what? Benefits of this new society that they had created. And rose up to what? Play. You guys have been playing for years. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye. You have to understand what was actually going on. The system of Corbin was a system of social welfare. But the Corbin of the Pharisees always was that way. It means sacrifice. But the Corbin of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, because it was not based on loving thy neighbor. It was based on force and compulsion, entitlements. The world before entitlements did it by faith, hope, and charity. If you don't do that, you will not have faith. You will have fear. So flee idolatry. Flee these systems of idolatry. Don't worry about fleeing the country, because if you don't flee the idolatry. He says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Stop looking to these rulers who can exercise authority to provide you with your security. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? In other words, if you get your welfare from us, who provide it through faith, hope, and charity in these free distributions of goods to the truly needy, to take care of the true needy of our society, you are blessed with the blood of Christ. If you go to the men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, which Christ said you were not to be like, and you pray to them for your daily bread, your social welfare, your free education, your free health care, then you are eating of the table of demons, of Satan, of the adversary of Christ, because they do not operate by faith, hope, and charity. You are not a Christian. You are not saved. You are condemned and under condemnation. And you have to repent. And you have to forgive them. No matter how much you paid in, you have to forgive them what they owe you. And say, I want no more entitlements. Now, I know a lot of you are in a bad situation where you cannot do without that. But you can turn around and start going and edifying the kingdom and start gathering together with others and make it, you've got limited time anyway. Start making it possible that others will seek the kingdom. You can support this ministry or one of the other ministries that you can become in contact with on the net. But you've got to start supporting something other than your own greed, because greed leads to fear. Fear leads to hate, and hate leads to judgment. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? If you take the benefits, you're partakers of the altar. But in 17 it says, for we being many are one bread, one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread. We go to church for communion, for the daily bread, the needs of our society. You have turned it into a ritual. You do not know Christ. In the early church in 150 AD, they brought out sacks of bread as the Eucharist of Christ. And they had men who would take it to the homes of those who could not come when there was great need, famine in the land. There will be famine again. Who are you going to call? the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary of Christ, or the Federal Emergency Management Agency of Unbelievers, who do not believe in living by faith, but by force and entitlements. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the other nations sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils, because their table is a snare of recompense. What should have been for your welfare at their table is a snare. Paul says this, David says this over and over again. But you think that, what do you think they're talking about here? Where do you pray for your daily bread? To God? To those who have God in their hearts? To provide you by faith, hope, and charity? Or to men who go to the law to force you to contribute to their welfare? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Actually, the word wealth there is added. Seek not to be served, but to serve others, is what he's really saying. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that's actually when they had their sacrifices, they would sell the meat to provide for the priests. But that's not the way we do it. We live by faith, hope, and charity. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if we act and do according to the ways of the Lord, we have nothing to fear. But if we do not do according to the ways of the Lord, darkness will be upon us, and we will have much to fear. 1 Timothy 6:11, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Is that what you're following after? 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, not them that call on Rome or Caesar, who do not believe in peace to their neighbor, but force. Your churches are false. They're in apostasy. They can change. And we'll talk about some of those ministers in another show, but we need to understand where we have gone in order to get back. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, not resist in fighting against. And he will flee from thee. Resist the ways of the devil, the adversary. Start taking care of one another. And you, the beauty of this is you can just start. You don't have to do it all today. But you may have to do it all tomorrow. So you better start today. Start turning around. Don't put it off. Gather together with others. Repent in your churches. And if your churches will not repent, create new congregations of people who will. Exodus your heart from their ways. And God will be there for you no matter what country you're in. But if you just flee to save yourself, you flee without Christ. In Revelation 1:17 it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Christ was the way it was in the beginning. And the Christians were that way, and in the end, that will all that will be. So you need to turn and go his ways. the ways we used to be in this country, where we were minutemen for each other. We came when there was need for each other, in sickness, or in health, or in calamity, or in difficulty. We were there for each other because we were minutemen for Christ. Instead of, wait a minute, men, I got to go do my thing first. Wrong approach. But it's what we see every day. And we need to change our ways and go another way. Here's a quote from John Locke. Lived from 1632 to 1704 and was well read by early Americans. Whenever the legislatures endeavor to take away and destroy the property of the people, or to reduce them to slavery under arbitrary power, they put themselves into a state of war with the people, who are thereupon absolved from any further obedience. But it is not an arbitrary power that has taken away your rights. It is because you sat down with unbelievers and said, let's have one purse. Let's elect rulers who can take away from my neighbor so that I may be safe, so that I may be secure, so that I may benefit, so that I may gain. You may take from my neighbor to make me safe. You said that was okay. You said it when you sent your kids to public school. You said it when you sought to have a fire department. You said it when you wanted to have police protection by taxation, by forced offerings. You are so far from the kingdom. Do you know that the most common form of government, taxation, was always voluntary? 100 years ago in Oregon, most of the taxes were voluntary. Someone just recently voted so that they would have inheritance tax and keep it in Oregon. And he said, oh, and I says, you voted for that? And he said, yeah. You have to look at, we need the revenue stream. I said, so you're going to take it from widows and orphans? He doesn't realize that if he were to be killed in an automobile accident right now, his children would lose the business they have. They would have to sell it at a loss. Prices are down now because of the economy, which is another whole story. They wouldn't be down if we were a Christian nation. Even if we were just a Jewish nation following after Moses. But the Jews don't follow after Moses. Israel doesn't follow after Moses. It has unjust weights and measures. It has debt. It has usury all over the place. It doesn't do what Moses said. That doesn't have anything to do with Moses. And most Muslims have very little to do with the Quran. Not that I advocate the Quran. I certainly know that they don't have anything to do with Abraham and the ways of Abraham. Most of them. Now, I can't say about all of them. I can't say about all Christians. But most Christians are not following the ways of Christ, the ways of Moses, and the ways of Abraham. And Moses and Christ were in agreement. And Abraham was called a man of faith. But you don't live by faith. You live by force. You live by the sword of your government to force your neighbor to provide you with what you want. Healthcare clinics. Healthcare. Free education. Free food. Free bread. Your communion is your EBT card. That's what you get your communion with. Or your Social Security card. That's your Corbin card. That isn't the way Christ wants. Now, I know that's a hard message. But it's going to fail. That system's going to fail. And you're not ready for it. You need to turn around. The people choose to take away the property of their neighbors so that they can be free. That's being greedy for gain. And you are captured in the very net of your own making. You eat the deceitful dainties and meats of kings with great appetite. And you are snared. And you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go another way. Let us walk honestly, as in the days, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. And taking from your neighbor to provide you with what you want is not love. He that loveth knoweth not, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifestation the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, into the constitutional order of Rome, that we might live through him. We might. But if we don't go his ways, we will not live. He will not hear us. And we will go under judgment. And we will go under abominations. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But we have to stop sinning. Beloved, if God be love, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Do we? Or are we covetous? You cannot love and be covetous of your neighbor, especially if you send ministers to your neighbor's house to take away from your neighbor. Christ was very political. That's why Christians were in so much trouble with governments. Not that they broke the law, but they had another king. And they followed another way. But you don't follow Christ unless you are gathering together to form a network of people who take care of one another and the needs of one another. The Amish do this amongst the Amish to some degree. And they are exempt from these new systems because they have a system in place. Do you have a system in place? Do you want somebody else to build it for you? To make it happen for you? You just sit there and when you guys got it all built, let me know and I'll come and live in it. It doesn't work that way. You must edify the kingdom in your life by your own personal sacrifice and cooperation and forgiveness with others. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit of service of one to another. Not of going to church, but of actual service to one another. You don't need insurance. You don't need welfare. You don't need public education. You don't need these benefits. In this community, we have a fire department. It's a volunteer fire department. The buildings, the trucks, everything, volunteer. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The constitutional order and system of Rome. That was the world. And it should be our world too. That he will save us if we turn around and repent. And electing a new leader to exercise authority over our neighbors is not repentance. Although I know that some of you were trying to elect people because you wanted to go back more in the direction of Jesus Christ, I want you to actually go to Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So you can't just confess that. You actually have to have his ways in you. Is he your ruling judge, or are you out there electing other ruling judges to rule over your neighbor and do things the way you think they ought to be? Or are you being the kingdom of God? Are you taking care of one another? Are you providing for one another? Are you gathering together with one another in free assemblies, not free associations, free assemblies, bound together unbreakably bound together by faith, hope, and charity. Is that what you're doing? Or are you doing something else? Because if you're doing something else, you're not doing what Christ said. We need to change. We need to go another way. That word confess, whosoever shall confess. To say the same thing as another, to agree with, to assent. Do you agree with Jesus that the Corban of the Pharisees makes the word of God to none effect? Do you understand now that the Corban of the Pharisees was a social welfare system where you had to pay in under penalty of law to take care of the needy of your society? According to the ways of the Corban of Rome and the Corban of the Pharisees? It wasn't that way originally in Rome, but it was at that time. It wasn't that way originally in Israel, but it was at that time in Judea. And it is that way for you. And that is what you have to repent. And you cannot repent of that unless you are actually serving one another in real churches that take care of all the social welfare of your community. And that's going to take some sleeves rolled up and some hands working for God. It's going to take some personal sacrifice and a whole lot of forgiveness of one another. And it's not going to need people sitting there preaching at you and thumping you. Yeah, on the head, it's going to take you actually loving the ways of Christ so that He can dwell in you and you in Him. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So how do you confess Jesus? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Because we live in the shadow of death today. We live on a precipice of death. Luke 11:36. If thy body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it in under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See your good works. Is that where we're at or not? Till we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.